Welcome to Dial M for Maple, the AV Club's deep dive look at Riverdale. Today we're belatedly ringing in the new year with Archie's insane deathbed fantasies. I'm your host, AV Club Senior Editor Mara Eakin, and I'm joined, as always, by Cameron Sheets. Cameron, hi.
Hi, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, and welcome to my home.
Yeah, we are recording from your lovely home.
Very early in the morning, and if you hear anything, it is babies in the background.
Yeah, I think this all, like, adds to the feeling of this episode, where it's just, like, we're kind of disoriented, it's early, I'm still not quite sure what's real and what's not.
Yeah.
Because I'm not awake.
I know, it's fine, and it's gray and gross, mm-hmm. It feels like Riverdale.
Yeah, it does. Weird way to, like, come back into the year. Well, especially with this episode, which we can get into.
Yeah, I guess that, you know, let's start with the ice puncher, which mm-hmm. is how we open each week's episode. This week, the question is Archie dead?
Yeah, I mean, no.
No. I mean, you have here sort of, is Archie ever going to be killed off? Or do you think KJ just keeps his hair dyed red and stays in Vancouver for no reason?
Yeah. I mean, I'm just really curious about, like, beyond the show. Let's say Archie does die or mm-hmm. the show ends. Does KJ keep his hair red? It's become such a signature for him.
No way.
I mean, I wouldn't think he would either, but like...
He seems to hate dyeing it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. But I mean, there are so many like red carpets and things now where he's got the red hair and it's just like, that's mm-hmm. what you see him as. What you'd have to do is really get... He'd have to have like a pretty big meaty role post Riverdale where he mm-hmm. was not a redhead.
He's not a redhead in The Hate U Give.
Mm. You're right.
For what that's worth.
You're right. But that's a pretty small role, right?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of other celebrities that have had to do that. And I'm like, maybe Emma Stone did like a big change.
Yeah. There's Emma Stone is like...
When she went blonde.
I think she's really blonde, like in real life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she was like known as... Yeah, I guess that's pretty good one-to-one.
Mm-hmm.
What if Archie has the career Emma Stone has? We'll see him in The Favorite in 10 years.
Yeah.
The Favorite too.
I don't know who else, like Julia Roberts maybe?
I don't know,
would
but
dye
she's
her
always
hair not like that, like reddish color.
Yeah,
yeah.
But it's so extreme. Anyway, mm-hmm. yeah, there's no way he's dead.
Yeah, no.
It's
he's
another
alive.
Cliffhanger that. Well, we'll get into that later too.
Yeah, I guess let's break right into it.
Yeah.
Last we saw everybody, the town was on lockdown. There was a quarantine. FP and Jughead were stuck outside the town. Archie was on the run. Now we're back. It's 5 weeks later. Jughead and FP are back in town. No explanation,
yeah.
as far as I'm concerned.
I'm really, really disappointed the show did, like, nothing with the whole quarantine thing.
No.
I thought we were going to have at least a week of them, like, living in this weird bubble town and running low on supplies. We get the hint that crime has increased.
Yeah.
And we're seeing that through Choney's, like, ridiculous cat burglar outfits that I do love. But
I know. And, like, the fact that I guess the speakeasy... can just like be kind of lawless and have booze now?
Yeah, that was unclear to me too. Well, what was kind of interesting is that throughout this episode, I think to a not successful degree, they do a lot of songs from Cabaret.
Uh-huh.
And like, of course, maybe they're trying to make that comparison to like Berlin during post.
Don't draw that comparison.
Yeah, really weird.
Let's steer away from that one.
But I mean... That's all we're seeing. Oh, and then we get a mention. I had to take note that the one scene we see Kevin and Moose in this episode, they're chastising Cheryl and Tony for holding hands.
And then so they're like, yeah, you guys are the Gestapo, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Or like whatever they say, like you guys just enforce the rules. Again, the most thankless fucking jobs for
Casey.
Poor
guys.
Cut.
Poor Casey.
Yeah.
But I don't, it doesn't even really make sense.
Are they just setting up like something for the future with that? I don't
yeah.
know. Like, why are those guys following rules? Like,
mm-hmm.
who, I forget what they said, like, who makes the rules at the school?
Is it Weatherby? The Buzzkill? Principal Buzzkill?
I don't know. Mm. And why?
Yeah.
Everything?
It definitely seemed like they were, they're put in this position of opposition mm-hmm. for a specific reason. And that's kind of how I feel about, like, why are, we isolate by the end of this episode. Why are Cheryl? I keep wanting to just say Choney, but I guess
just
I might
say
as well.
Choney, it's fine.
Why is Choney like being kind of set off on their own? Like, what does the show have in mind for them? Anything?
I know. I mean, I don't know. And the whole serpents like being run dry thing.
Mm-hmm.
How were the serpents making money before?
drugs always, and now they're not.
But I thought the serpents didn't deal drugs.
Yeah. I mean, they had the park, the trailer park at least. Now they just live in tents.
And the bar.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe the bar was all of it. But it's so weird that
they're just like spending money to make money. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like at the bar. I don't know. I think they were just like doing random illegal. Maybe they were like running stuff from in and out of town.
Yeah. Other things.
Now they can't do that.
Yeah. It's also just like everyone's so freaked out that the serpents aren't. I mean, I've never been in a gang, let alone this sort of gang. But
what?
Like,
Cameron, yeah. You've never been in a gang.
I know. But I think that they all want a job. Couldn't they find jobs elsewhere? It's not like they're not hireable. Like Pop would hire any of these people, I would think. He has hired serpents before.
That's true. Yeah, FP.
So they're all like relying on Jughead to like find a source of income for the gang so that they
can't be contained, Cameron. They don't do construction or whatever.
Wild horses, wild serpents. Oh yeah, construction.
Yeah, what's like Fred up to? How does Fred keep things moving?
Actually, I don't know anymore.
I don't know. It doesn't really matter.
No,
I guess.
No. Speaking of people kind of lost, mm-hmm. wayward children, we've got all of the orphans at House Chez Cooper.
Why are there boys? I thought the Sisters of Quiet Mercy were only girls.
I never thought that it was, but we had specifically only seen girls.
Maybe it was people from the conversion episodes. Wing?
Yeah. Not really explained if everybody, how that happened. The show does make it a point to tell us it's been 5 weeks since the quarantine, which we already know doesn't mm-hmm. really make any difference on the show.
Sure.
But you mean to tell me that all the orphans have been living in that house for over a month?
I understand why Alice would be like, get them out of here.
I mean, yeah. I can't believe it's lasted that long.
Yeah.
And I wonder where they are. Where is Ethel? Like, where is it?
Maybe Ethel went back home?
Oh, yeah. Because she's not actually
an
orphan. Yeah, I don't know. But it just becomes this thing where Betty is in this weird mama bear role with them, and she's like,
she's also the griffin queen.
Yeah. So she's letting them play the game, but she's definitely not letting them use fizzy rocks. She gets pissed at boy orphan number mm-hmm. one.
Tucker? I don't remember what that
is. Oh, yeah, he does have a name.
Tyler.
Tyler.
Maybe, yeah.
Tucker.
I think it's Tyler. I think we just know a guy named Tucker.
Oh, sure. And then the other side of this, like, post-Sisters of Quiet Mercy is that she feels like she knows what's going on with Hiram and she wants the sisters to testify, mm-hmm. but they've taken a vow of silence and Sierra McCoy can't get it out of them. So.
Well, she does eventually find out, though, that the Sisters of Quiet Mercy haven't actually been sisters since Vatican II, which I believe was in, like, the 90s, mm-hmm. 80s? I don't know.
I should have fact-checked.
60s? And so they're basically just like a crime organization.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a little crazy. Yeah. I don't know. Let's listen, you know, speaking of the farm.
Oh, yeah. I like
some
this
good
moment.
Farm chat.
Totally. Because Betty comes home to see Evelyn and Polly. Let's take a listen.
Polly, Evelyn, the hell's going on?
Mom called. She said that you had your hands full. Want a t-shirt?
No, and neither do they. Guys, don't take anything from these two vampires, okay? They're bribing you.
Betty doesn't know what she's saying. When I escaped the sisters, the farm became my salvation, my family.
Okay, as your Griffin Queen, I promise to protect you and keep you safe. And trust me, the farm is not safe.
Not safe? Did you tell them how the Gargoyle King and his henchmen broke into this house and terrorized you and Mom?
Yeah. Man, that farm stuff has really, really raised Betty's hackles.
I know.
I get it. I also get why they want those kids the fuck out of the
house.
They
should go to the farm.
Yeah. Let them live with, like, the fucking serpents or something.
Yeah, I guess Betty just feels like she really does need to protect them, but I don't really know.
Yeah.
I don't know where that came from all of a sudden. But I like this scene because I love Evelyn. She's one of my favorite characters at this point.
I know, me too.
We get just enough of her that she's really funny. She's like offering the t-shirt to Betty. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, right.
Because Betty doesn't wear t-shirts.
Right.
I mean, she does, but they're like...
They're really cool.
Yeah.
With like cool stripes on them. And
unrelated, I really liked the sweater she wore at the end of the show with like the puffy sleeves.
Oh,
like, the dots.
Very, very cool.
I was like,
cool.
This is a good bet. It's like pushing Betty forward a little in a way that I like.
I know there's been articles like digging into where she gets her stuff, but mm-hmm. I do want to know where everything's from. I was just going to say, Evelyn, whether she like is genuinely naive to what's going on and is just kind of like ditzy and aloof, like I love that. But if she's like truly a snake and not a serpent, but you know, a snake of a mm-hmm. person and is just like playing dumb.
I think,
like,
she is.
I love it both ways.
It drives me insane that, like, they're not, like, working together more. in the show. Like, she's trying to take Hiram down, but, like, is Veronica involved in this? Mm-hmm. No, because what we see later is Veronica's, like, doing deals with her dad.
Yeah, they should all be sitting down at Pops together.
Yeah.
Maybe without Archie there. They just don't know that they can all hang out.
It's like one of those weird things where, like, one friend goes off to college and then you realize you're, like, not really friends anymore. Oh, yeah.
We have nothing to talk about.
But Jughead is sleeping over. Hey.
That's true. Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, because he got back into town. It's just, like,
inexplicably.
Here we are.
Yeah. They'd rather stay inside.
Oh, yeah. That's the other thing that happens is that they don't say who immediately, but one of the orphans mentions that they got fizzy rocks from a serpent. So Betty has to kind of, like, be like, Jughead, what the hell? And then that's when he goes in and is like, dudes.
Spun out into his Serpent King shit. Speaking of Jughead, there's some good Jughead narration about Archie at the beginning of the sap.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to hear that?
We should, definitely.
What hero's journey would be complete without a self-imposed exile? Witness Archie Andrews. Just as Luke Skywalker went to planet Dagobah, so too has Archie been in the Canadian hinterlands, wondering what dark demons he would have to conquer before being able, finally, to go home.
All right.
There's something, Dagobah. There's something about that. Dagobah. He says it's so weird.
I know. It's really funny.
Dagobah?
But he's like, kind of a nerd, so I would hope that he
knows. Yeah, that's probably the proper pronunciation. Yeah. But it just was kind of just like the word just like fell out of his mouth. I don't really know how to explain it. Yeah. But.
And this is related to Archie, who is in a cabin chatting with some unknown voice, doing like wilderness brush clearing, and then gets off screen attacked by a bear.
Yeah. And it's gnarly.
It is pretty gnarly. I don't know. Would you die from that?
I would think, I don't know. I just remember.
I mean, it looked bad, but it didn't look like, I mean, they're not going to make it so you can see like his guts.
Oh, yeah. Thank God. Did you see The Revenant ever?
Yeah,
of course. Where Leo gets attacked by the bear. Yeah. I just remember he had like a hole in his throat after that happened.
Yeah.
And had to like solder it together.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They're not
going
to make it that bad. He just takes some like weird dirty bandages and like pours some stuff on and then lays down.
I wonder if Vegas like saved the day. We don't really get to see
that. Yeah, Vegas seems fine. I thought Archie would come home like without Vegas.
Yeah, which would have been deeply sad. He just comes back with a collar. Oh my God. Yeah, so then he's like, he calls for help and then he has fever dreams start.
I told you, like the second they use that like wobbly lens, I'm like, no.
And then Cassidy's there with his, like, bullet in his head.
Yeah, fine. He has to kill himself.
Jughead's narration, which we just listened to, like, really has to do a lot of work in terms of what hero's journey would be complete without a self-imposed exile. Like, and then he talks about, like, having to find himself. This didn't feel like this moment for me with Archie. This didn't feel like Archie has to come to terms with, like, what's happened in his life.
I also truly feel like, is Archie a hero?
He's definitely not.
No. And like, if I were a writer on the show, the least fun person to write for would be Archie. That's just how I feel.
He's been fun from time to time. I mean, do you remember the inspirational high school football speech in prison? Like, I loved that.
That's fair.
There's certain situations you put him in and he's able to kind of like pure, like American good boy, like standing is really, really funny in prison and that sort of thing. But him having to come to terms didn't really work for me.
No. Let's take a break and we'll come back and talk about Reggie's old-time truck.
Definitely.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know ya at a deeper level. The who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
We'll be right back.
All right, we are back. There is a gargoyle gang.
Mm-hmm.
Which, is that just the ghoulies?
Still not clear.
Okay.
Still not clear why.
Or it's like Hiram's. But Hiram's minions are the ghoulies.
Yes, exactly. So why would he need them to put on masks and be a different gang now? Unless he's trying to confuse people. Unless
or
it
he just
is
wants
something
more
else.
Masks. Mm-hmm. Unless they want to use the same actors but not have us identify them.
Yeah, I mean,
it could be like a production thing.
That also makes sense.
Non-speaking actors, if you don't show their faces, you have to pay them less money.
Right, of course. You just throw a mask on them. Honestly, it's probably like Ashley Murray who plays Josie in a mask just because, like, yeah, let's save, cut some corners here.
Yeah.
Let's use one of our actors who doesn't have a ton to do. Mm-hmm. Although she does have some to do in this episode.
Yeah.
She sings and she gets attacked.
By a gargoyle.
Gargoyle. Or scared, not attacked.
Yeah,
but
it's so weird. Are they just trying to fuck with Veronica, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, that's why it's like, if Hiram's behind this, I mean, it's very clear because he just made it a point to call out, like, Josie being good and, like, mm-hmm. being a draw for the club.
Yeah, and then he goes directly after Reggie, mm-hmm. which is, like, again, directly after Veronica. Like, it's Hiram. But also, it seems like he's not doing that much. I think he's just, I honestly think he's just trying to toughen Veronica up.
Yeah, that
trying
could
to, like,
be.
Turn her. Do you
yeah,
know what
this
I mean?
Is the whole thing. He's like, I've been training you the whole time and you just didn't.
Yeah, like he's impressed that she cooks mm-hmm. her books, but he's like, you can't cook your books. You know, mm-hmm. that kind of thing.
That's a good theory. I kind of like that because it is weird yeah. to have those two positioned against each other like
and
this.
And it kind of works. Poor Glamour J Egg, though.
I love know? That callback. Mm-hmm. Like, great callback.
Amazing callback.
Yeah, kind of weird to me that if Choni is going to steal from the rich and give to themselves. Like, obviously, Hiram's one of the richest to steal for, but like, Veronica.
Don't blow it. She blew it. Yeah. Man. First of all, Choni, like, doing that lipstick, she's like, I'm feeling saucy. It's like, take the fucking portrait and then do something to it. Mm-hmm. Don't, like, leave your calling card there. Mm-hmm. She does, like, deserve to get in trouble with the serpents.
Yeah. You can't run around town with a mask like that on and expect to not get.
No.
Caught.
My babysitter. / friend was asking about this app because I told her I'd watched it and she was like, it wasn't my favorite. She's like, was there good Choni stuff at least? She's like a good Choni shipper. And I was like, yes.
Yes.
Like, that's a yes.
Yeah, we are happy they get some scenes. And they have they said that they love each other yet? They have.
Now they did.
But it seems like a big moment here for sure. Also, just big week for eggs with the Glamour J egg and that egg becoming the most liked post on Instagram of all time.
Yes, exactly.
Huge week for eggs. Eggs are so in right now. 2019. Eggs. But to pick back up what you were saying about Veronica mm-hmm. and Hiram kind of trying to toughen her up, would not be surprised if at the end of the season we get a scene where he drapes that amazing coat over her shoulders and he's
it
like, is this
really
is yours
good.
Now. And my mm-hmm. creepy twin guards are yours now. One of the one
a
of our
student has become the master.
Mm-hmm, grasshopper. One of our
like when the Glamour J egg is like broke on his desk, he doesn't seem like angry. He seems like he's like, turnabout is fair play.
That's
Veronica.
True.
Do you know what I
yeah,
mean?
Yeah, he's like always pretty impressed when she does that. And now she's got her, like, serpent army. The, mm-hmm. Oh, the other thing I was going to say, those bodyguard, twin bodyguards, is a follower had tweeted about, like, what we thought their names would be and had all these options. And option C, I think, was, like, Cole and Dylan, which they really should have done that. Although those aren't Italian enough.
Yeah.
We got, like, Nico.
Well, Cole
and
Dylan were born in Italy, Cameron.
Oh.
That's something stupid, I know.
I actually didn't know that, but
I know that because, like, when he'll be on, like, Jimmy Fallon and they have to be, like, you know, playing games.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be like, I'm Cole from Naples, Italy, or whatever.
Cool.
Cool,
and then
I
they
guess.
Moved here.
Yeah.
Oh, thank goodness they did. What would we do without them?
Yeah. There's a, you know, again, like a little serpent drama.
Yeah.
That happens towards the end of the ep here.
Right. After
Fangs is stealing drugs because of his mom is sick.
It's very sad.
Choni is stealing stuff because
they
are
love
bored.
To have sex on a bed with money on it.
Yeah. Which Cheryl has money.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they can't get the maple syrup out of town or whatever. However, Cheryl has a livelihood. And yeah, it's not like they're dealing any of the stuff they're stealing, unless they are.
I don't know. I think they're keeping everything that they steal.
But anyways, they should get kicked out of the serpents, which is fucking rough.
Yeah.
To be fair, like, I don't know if Cheryl's instigation or Tony's idea, but like, Choni getting kicked out is a little rough.
I know. As she says, she's serpent by blood.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, Cheryl was like an outsider anyway. They like let her in for some weird reason and gave her a cool red leather jacket, which she does get to keep.
Because of the arrows.
Yeah. I'm on their side, of course. Like, I don't want them to have to leave the serpents. And they obviously make a good point that Fangs, and even though Jug decides to kick him out there, they still end up letting Fangs back in.
I mean,
FP's kind of.
I mean, it should be this thing where it's like, well, Fangs is stealing for good reason.
Mm-hmm.
Although, yeah, he doesn't want to like blow his shit up.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how that's going to go. We've already
not like the rest of the serpents wouldn't know what's up with Fang's mom.
I just think that FP's kind of sad in this episode. He has to beg his son.
Get me back in the game.
Yeah, really, really sad. But they get kicked out, as we kind of hinted at, ends up just them planting Fangs back in the gargoyles so he can, which, as we said, the second time we see old-timey truck, they, like, basically ambush the ambush. There's a term for that, I'm sure, but the counter-ambush. They don't take the mask off.
No, they're like, tell your boss this. Get out of here. I'm like, fucking take the mask off.
Yeah, they could have scared him to do that and taken the mask off.
You want to know who it is, kind of, as well.
It could help. Think.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it's those freaking orphans from the Sisters of Quiet Mercy, no.
That's a good point. What if it's the nuns? they're probably dead by then. They went home or whatever.
Oh.
Did we hear this jug quote? I'm like very
tired. We didn't, but let's hear that. Yeah.
What's he going to do? Call the sheriff? Oh, right. There is no sheriff.
Cheryl, that's not the point. You broke the code. Turn in your jackets and go.
Are you serious, Jones? I'm a serpent by blood. You can't take that away from me.
You hypocrite. You give your drug-dealing buddy Fangs a pass, but you crucify us?
And in case you are wondering how we know, Fangs told Sweet Pea, who told me.
Who told me? If you're asking for our jackets, shouldn't you be asking for his as well?
Yeah, that's just the part we were talking about with the big serpent tribunal, with the inter-gang feuding, which is tough. And Sweet Pea's just...
Fangs told Sweet Pea, who told me?
Yeah. Sweet Pea's just kind of like a pawn in the middle. He said to see his boy Fangs go... I would like to think that those two are in love, but I've gotten my hopes up too many times.
I know. To, I guess, sort of wrap up this up, the best part of the ep is Cameron.
Oh, it's Nana Rose. Honestly, looking so good.
I know. Like, she's not like, maybe it's because Cheryl, I think this is the first time I've seen her, that she's not been under Penelope's kind of thumb.
I actually think that maybe some of Penelope's stuff was left at the house because it looked like she was a little more like... Penelope-esque a little more, like, not as much
She
didn't
seem, like, as fucked up or old.
No, definitely. She was pretty with it. And she was happy to take in some of the orphans.
She'd done it before.
And so was Fred.
Which is gross, because she took in Penelope, which is gross.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Oh, yeah, I'm kind of worried about them. We still love Nana Rose.
I wonder if any of those people ended up getting taken in, or if they all just went to the farm before that could even happen.
I mean, I think the show lets it seem that they all went straight to the farm.
Straight to the farm.
Yeah, Nana Rose... Fred, Sarah, I guess it doesn't even matter, but they were all like, we'll take people.
Yeah.
And then Betty goes home immediately after and finds out that she missed Edgar by 5 minutes.
And we missed Edgar because we still haven't seen Edgar.
No casting announcements. I have something about that later, but interesting. And then the other thing that Betty does, she goes back to the jail to talk to Sarah, but all the sisters have been released.
Then they're all dead.
Yeah.
They killed themselves. They put on their habits and off themselves, gargoyle
style. Drank
some
fresh aid. Notable that the statue has...
a different skull on it?
Yeah, like an old...
a cow's skull?
Cow skull. Who loves westerns?
I don't know. Another noticeable thing is that Ronnie and Reggie made out.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I, like, turned away for a minute and missed that whole thing.
The whole kiss?
Yeah.
I felt like it was really drawn out because he comes to see her performance and he leans on the bar and they make sexy eyes at each other.
I hope they see
I think
together.
It was like some of the last 5 minutes
of the
episode.
Let's give him like some meaty stuff to do.
We like him. We definitely do.
Like it's like, let's make it like a, I mean, he's not the ducky here, but let's make it like a three. Not a three-way because that's not the right. A
well,
little triangle
that could happen too.
Where it's like we get to see him like as an actualized character.
Yeah, I don't want it to be like Archie eventually comes back to town and those two just immediately like are like, dude, get off my girl, like that sort of thing. I want it to be like this really emotional, soapy, fraught. Like.
Yeah. Well, I kind of also want him to be like, no, like I really like you, and like there's like some real connection there.
Yes, there definitely is.
Yeah.
And speaking of Archie, I mean, we kind of glossed over his fantasies earlier because I don't think they mean anything.
No.
The last one, he has to go and, like, beat his old version of himself with a baseball bat. And his dad tells him not to, but he does anyway.
I mean, is it supposed to be like, you're killing old Archie?
Yeah, I don't. Maybe. It's like, you're not this innocent boy anymore.
I'm not going to, like, put any thought into that until we know what's up.
And it took up so much of the episode, too.
Yeah, that's kind of why I was doing other shit. Because I was like, I don't care about this.
Yeah, but then you miss a big kiss and
I'll go back and watch
on you.
It. Yeah, I'll go back and watch it. Or I'll watch like GIFs after the ep tonight.
Or I can see the follow No Context Riverdale and just see the scenes of it with the, I love that account. Yeah, that's the episode.
Yeah.
I think that...
You didn't like it.
Yeah, we kind of... It just didn't feel like the best note to start the year off on.
It was a little bit of a bummer. Mm-hmm. I guess I wanted more.
My big issue is that I think that... And maybe I'm misremembering, but I feel like this season, more than seasons past, puts a lot of effort into setting up these big cliffhanger endings, mm-hmm. and then really just immediately undercuts them. Obviously, we saw with the quarantine, like it felt like that was going to be a big change, and then nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
Archie may be dying at the end of this episode.
I mean, maybe we are like reading into that. Do you know what I mean? Where in the past, they built this up, and then there has been like a big reveal. Like, mm-hmm. oh, the Black Hood is Betty's dad. You know, mm-hmm. whatever. I don't know. But yeah, it was a bummer. Like, I'm like, wait, did I miss something? Mm-hmm. Like, was I not listening to the narration close enough that revealed how they like got back in town? I assumed it's through some sort of tunnels.
Right.
Yeah.
I wish we would have seen.
We know they were going to get back. Show me like some like quick cut montage of what's been happening.
Yeah. That would have been fun. Mm-hmm. I would love to see them sneaking in through tunnels, mm-hmm. climbing over the dead body that the Coopers hid last season just to get back into town. Both of us separately were like, I don't know how I felt about the episode, but on the flip side, Nana Rose was there.
Mm-hmm.
So.
You should get a Nana Rose tattoo, like a really photorealistic, like half sleeve.
That would not be creepy at all. I'm going to. You're right. I'll do it.
Let's take a break and we'll come back and talk about next week. All right. It is time to pop a squat at the speculation booth. We're going to run down all our theories for what lies ahead in Riverdale.
Mm-hmm.
A, Archie's not dead.
That was our first question, yeah.
The sister's bail was supposed to be an anonymous source. Who was it?
Yeah, I think we are to assume it's Hiram because he has the money and he has a reason for doing that. Was it Edgar? Is the Gargoyle King something different? I just think there's a lot of... I mean, the show's probably keeping it vague for a reason, but...
Mm-hmm.
Like,
who is the Gargoyle King?
Yeah. Is it Hermione? Is it Hiram? Who's like actually behind this stuff and why?
Mm-hmm.
And is Hiram just, again, taking advantage of the situation?
The next time we see like a one of those like previously on Riverdale things, if they ever show the thing where it's like Hermione's the boss, we'll be like, oh, here we go.
Yeah, we know that shit's about to go down. That's a good point. Yeah, where she's on the cliff with Archie.
Are Cheryl and Tony out of the Serpents forever? No.
I mean, I wouldn't think so, especially because it's like such a personal thing for Tony, but
yeah,
it really feeds into my whole question of like, where do they go? Because now they're like anti-Serpent and they're pretty much on their own.
I mean, I would also say like, would that cause tension in the relationship?
It could.
For Tony to be like, I'm this like, legit bumming me out.
Yeah.
Like, you're not enough for me.
Because Cheryl could be like, I kind of love this vigilante lifestyle that we've got now. Mm-hmm. And Tony's like, oh, that's good drama.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be great because I think it's nice that we've gotten to see them just like fall head over heels for each other, but to like actually have like some dramatic heft to the situation would be fantastic.
How soon till others find out about Reggie and Ronnie? For Regica?
Oh, yeah. Is that what we call them? I'll let the internet tell me before I start saying
there's got
to
be a name out there for them.
Yeah.
Reggie.
Ronji.
Miss Ronji.
Miss Ronji. For Regica.
List of Riverdale relationship names.
Virgie.
Ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
There's a lot of options here, guys.
Oh, good.
And there's options for, like, Archie Ethel, Archie Josie, Archie Geraldine Grundy.
Man, the internet never lets me down. Sometimes it does.
Dilton Cheryl.
I mean, I guarantee there are people that are shipping this no matter what because, I mean—
Jason Blossom, Veronica Lodge.
Since they're a couple in real life, like, it's hard to not see them together and be like, wow, they are very cute.
Malachi / Veronica Lodge. Meloronica.
Malachi.
Musonica. Okay.
Maybe the internet is letting me down. Where's the Nana Rose and Pop Tate?
Okay, here it is. Veggie.
Oh, obviously. Veggie.
Yeah.
That actually makes a lot of sense.
Reggianica, Regrani, just terrible. And Verreggie.
I think we'll probably go with Veggie.
Yeah, I think that's
because it's
go.
Cute.
That's
Veggie and Bughead.
Yeah,
I love the idea of us.
I'm gonna
just,
send you this page just because you're gonna like it.
I want to be like casually talking in public about Bughead and Veggie and just have somebody being like, "What the hell?"
They do have some that are bolded, which I think means like that's the acceptable. That's the accepted one.
Oh, sure.
Yeah,
canon. Yeah, maybe we'll have to share this list just in case anybody else is curious. You know, if you're shipping somebody at home.
Yeah.
All you lovers
it's also
out
funny.
There,
I just love like funny words.
Oh yeah, definitely. Couple names are good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was kind of, I don't know.
Yeah.
That was kind of the questions about the episode.
Fan theories here we got.
Oh, yeah.
Hammer Gibbons. Time skip, tribal post-apocalyptic vibes under the dome.
So they were right about the time skip.
Mm-hmm.
They were wrong about...
A little bit. There is like some tribalist
with
stuff.
The
or some post-apocalyptic. Looting. Like it's a little bit like, yeah, there's no law. There's mm-hmm. no sheriff.
That's
like,
true. The sheriff is
like,
gone.
To be, they keep saying it's an elected sheriff. Like who's going to throw this election?
Yeah, that's weird.
Hermione's the mayor. She's not going to be like, guys, we need to get this election locked down.
She doesn't care.
No.
She's drinking herself.
Yeah.
I just read this one and was like, oh, yeah, kindred spirit. Like, I also wanted it to be, like, an insane.
Like Mad Max.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit.
Hordes of people.
Fires.
Mm-hmm.
Bailey Halfway Elise there. Said, all the Tony, I'm here for a more cohesive storyline for them in the second half of the season.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's
my, I think we're heading towards
I mean, you're
something.
Definitely getting more of this up, and hopefully you'll be getting, you know, the honeymoon period's over.
Yeah. Not that we want to see them on the rocks, but it's like, that's good TV
no,
for sure.
No, they're endgame to me.
Yeah, they definitely are. I thought that was a good one. And then the last, like, I guess it's theory I wanted to mention. Yeah. Is that there's an upcoming episode called Fire Walk With Me, mm-hmm. which is, of course, Twin Peaks reference.
A Twin Peaks movie. A very confusing movie.
And so one of our most, yeah, definitely. One of our most prolific theorists online, Bowyer 30, theorized that Kyle MacLachlan will play Edgar Ever Never.
Fingers crossed, dude.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
I would love that.
I wonder what he's up to.
Well, he has his own wine. I follow him on Instagram. he posts a lot of Twin Peaks memes.
Okay,
he still
cool.
is into coffee. I think he must have an assistant maybe that's like kind of in the Kyle MacLachlan like meme game.
Mm-hmm.
Or it'll be like gifs of him from Portland. Yeah,
that's funny.
I kind of enjoy it.
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, there's like a line there. Do you know like Catherine McPhee, how yeah. she like very clearly has two gay men like running her account and it's a little extra, but mm-hmm. I always appreciate it.
Yeah, he has some like wine company that's like inspired by a bear. Speaking of bears,
ooh.
The most recent photo I saw was him and it was like from the back and it was like him and a bear sitting in like lawn chairs like looking at a sunset.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a mm-hmm. little, I'll try this wine is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If I ever see it somewhere.
I would, absolutely.
I would love that. I don't know if he's better than Riverdale.
I don't know. I was trying to think about it. Like, if that makes sense. I mean, Evelyn, he doesn't necessarily look like her, but obviously we're casting a show. It doesn't mean they're going to look alike. But yeah. I thought we'd maybe have, like, a redhead.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Name game, next week's up. Speaking of Firewalk With Me, next week's up is called The Stranger.
The Stranger, yeah. And so, I mean, there's a bunch of stuff called The Stranger, but mm-hmm. I think the big one that I thought of was the Orson Welles 1946 noir film, which is kind of just about, like, post-World War II. There's this Nazi fugitive that goes undercover as, like, a teacher in a small town. And the main character just is basically trying to track him down and figure out the truth. So I was trying to figure out what that could mean. Is there somebody new, some new character with a past we don't know about? Is it about Fangs going undercover?
I think it's about Archie.
You think so?
Like, they're going to take him to some hospital because he's not really dead. And they're going to be like, what's your name, son? And he's going to be like, oh, it's Jughead Jones.
He's going to have amnesia? You know.
No, I think he's going to have to pretend to be someone he's not.
What was his fake name that he gave a couple episodes back to Riley Keough's character?
I can't remember.
It was like Brock or Chunk.
But, I can't remember.
But yeah, I didn't think about that at all. It's probably right.
The worst option.
But that's also assuming Archie wins. Don't we know that he like gets into some big boxing tournament?
Yeah, he gets into some shit.
We love to have Archie fight.
Yeah. Let's take a break and we'll come back and talk less about Archie. And now we return to the latest edition of the Blue and Gold, where we talk about our favorite Riverdale adjacent moments every week from the cast, the fans, and beyond. Hey, Martin, I think we have all the same ones here. TBH.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's been a minute. So.
It's been a minute. So my favorite thing, and you mentioned this, is that Charles Melton and Cammie Mendez, Reggie and Veronica, went to South Korea together over break to see his family in South Korea. His grandma looks just like him.
So cute.
And they took these photos. They went to like a photo studio and took these like photos that I guess people take in South Korea with like his niece and nephew who are so cute and
they're
little.
Adorable.
And I was telling someone this yesterday and they were like, uh-oh. Like they thought it was going to be like weird, like, like kind of insensitive South Korean photo.
No.
It's fine. I'm like, he's South Korean.
Yeah.
And they were super cute. Like the ones that were super serious and he was like a warrior.
Mm-hmm.
And then like the little kids like doing like the peace sign.
Yeah. Thing. And the one Cammie had posted, she was like in front of him with the sword. And she's like, I'll always protect you. And then just even beyond that, like their photos with family and stuff on that trip. It was so cute.
Yeah. And a lot of hot winter break action.
Oh yeah.
KJ and Cole went to New Zealand. I also went to New Zealand. I did not see them there.
Oh yeah, that's right. The bro venture.
They went to like some glaciers and shit.
Mm-hmm. It looked pretty fun.
It looked nice.
Just broing out.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people nice. In New Zealand reminded me of KJ.
Oh.
Like it's like yeah. a common, like just like cool bro thing.
And just talking bro like attitude. That.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then your other yeah. favorite thing here.
It was maybe only a week or so ago.
But if you miss it, you gotta check it out.
Yeah. Skeet Ulrich. I mean, actually, let's leave a spot right here because we'll try and put the soundbite in and then we'll talk about it. But
mm-hmm. it's for you, babe.
Okay, so hopefully you've heard it by now, but you also do need to see it because it's like an old video of Skeet Ulrich with an unbuttoned flannel shirt, just very thirst trappy, playing a guitar and singing "Fuck You, Donald Trump," and it's really funny.
And it's like from the election.
Yeah, I guess? Said it was like an old thing that he just decided to repost, and obviously,
but we've
like,
never seen it, so I don't know how that happened.
Yeah, totally, but. Really good content, Skeet. Like, loving that content. Mm-hmm. It just checks all the boxes.
Speaking of content,
mm-hmm.
we have a book club. We've talked about it before.
Yeah.
We're actually fucking doing it, and we have some incentives.
Yeah, definitely. So, we had mentioned on a previous episode that there's this book that Scholastic put out called Riverdale the Day Before, which is...
It's like the day before Jason Blossom died.
Yeah.
Or they found his body, whatever.
I think the day before the 4th of July.
Yeah.
I think it's like July 3rd. And the show kind of starts there. So it's like the prequel to the show and it's official.
Yeah.
I mean, we're curious about it because it's like you get like hints of Betty's summer in LA, which mm-hmm. we think is funny, interning for Hello Giggles. And it's like, God. What was everybody up to? I have like leafed through it. I haven't gotten to read too much yet, but there's like different sections in different fonts because it's like, here's Betty writing her diary.
Fucking Babysitter's Club.
Yeah, basically.
It's fine with me. Scholastic, also Babysitter's Club. Yeah.
But anyway, I mean, we want to encourage people to be on the lookout for it. I know some people have mentioned they've got it. We want to, the first off week.
It's pretty affordable from Amazon. I think it's like $7 or something.
Yeah.
So speaking of Scholastic.
Yes.
They have given us a book to give away.
Yeah, which is really cool. So we want to, what we'll do is over this next week, we'll have you guys tweet at us. And it's pretty simple prompt. Just tweet at us with hashtag book club. And we'll tweet about this too to make mm-hmm. the rules extra clear. Tweet at us with hashtag book club and then just pitch us your dream plot for an episode of Riverdale. There's not like a word limit. I mean, you know, you could tell us in three words something and it would be like, yeah, that sounds like an amazing episode.
We will also, I think, read these.
Yeah.
Our favorite ones.
Yeah, totally. We'll discuss them next week. Mm-hmm. We'll like pick some finalists. But then the winner, of course... We'll have to pick a winner because then we'll be able to send them one of the books, which is yeah. really cool.
And maybe Scholastic will send other cool stuff. I don't know. We'll see.
I hope so.
They have some other Riverdale swag. Yeah.
And they're so nice over there.
They are lovely.
We'll say again, we're going to have a book club on the first off week of the show to talk about this book. So
we need to figure that one out, what that is. Yeah. But we all have some notice.
We'll get there. We'll let you guys know. So, but keep an eye out for the book. But also don't forget the hashtag book club. Mm-hmm. Tweet us a pitch for an ideal Riverdale episode. Mm-hmm.
Again, neither one of us have actually read this book, but it seems very easy to read.
Yeah.
It seems like you could get through it in an afternoon.
I think so. If we told you we were going to do the book club tomorrow, you'd be like, okay, I can read that in time.
It is a YA book. Mm-hmm. Which, and not like a big YA, not like a big YA book.
No,
it's
definitely.
It's not a Maze Runner or whatever.
And again, there are portions of this that look like that it's stylized like text conversations, mm-hmm. which I'm all about. So.
And really fast to read.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, Cameron, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Early morning.
We're back.
We're
it's
back.
Early. It's 2019.
There's twins here, which makes sense because
yes.
twins.
On theme.
On theme. Tile In for Maple is a production of Onion Inc. Our theme music is by Stuart Wood. And the show is hosted by me, Mara. And I'm here with Cameron, Mara Eakin, Cameron Cheats. If you like the show, you can tell your friends and they can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher. You can also tell Roberto Aguirre Casa, who. Yeah. You should listen to our podcast.
Yeah.
I don't know. Why is that? I'm just joking.
Maybe.
You can also follow us on Twitter at @DialMFromMaple, mm-hmm. which really has been popping over the
place. Oh, yeah. As much as it can.
We'll see you guys next week when Archie's fate hangs in the balance.
But not really.
No, not really.
Bye-bye, Bulldogs.